grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A blessed and Merry Christmas to all of you as we gather together on this first Sunday after Christmas. Paul could have said, finally, at last, it came. You know, children become so anxious for its arrival that once Christmas gets here and all the presents under the tree have been opened, with some receiving more attention than others, as others may just remain in a box or in the wrappings, its coming is almost anticlimactic. Finally, it is here, and then, well, for most people, is gone, taken down, put away, and we'll wait till next year. The anticipation has given way to the events happening, and it is over almost as soon as it began. Well, not really, because it really begins around Halloween. And so by the time it gets here, there might be a disease called Christmas fatigue. Sometimes the actual waiting, however, is as much fun as the celebrating. Or when you have an extended family, there are other opportunities for celebrating. Paul and I celebrated with family in Paducah on Wednesday and Thursday, and I was able to baptize a great niece in the process as I assisted Pastor Oppold at St. Paul in Paducah with the baptism of Caroline Ryan Durst, a granddaughter of my brother Rick, so a daughter of my niece Elizabeth. That was a special time for my family as my brothers and most of their children were present. None of mine were. That's sometimes the way it happens when you have to alternate Christmases. But on Wednesday evening, for Caroline's adoption by grace, thereby reminding us of our adoption by grace through the waters of holy baptism. St. Paul writes in our text for today, when the fullness of time had come. So finally, after all these years of waiting and anticipating, God fulfilled his promise and sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We are no longer slaves, but sons. And therefore, we are heirs, heirs of God, and all the riches that God would heap upon those who are his children, his sons. Finally, the promise that God had made to Adam and Eve in the garden and recited at every children's Christmas service that I was ever a part of has been fulfilled. You know, I never really knew why someone had to recite these words: I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed, and he will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, it has everything to do with Christmas. Even though it did not make sense then, as someone had to recite that, but now I know why. Because it was the first promise of a Messiah, and it was spoken to the serpent following mankind's failure to resist the evil one's temptation and therefore their fall into sin and their separation from their Creator, Almighty God. With their wills now bound spiritually, they needed to hear the gospel. They needed to hear the good news. And God, their Creator, promised a new Adam to come. Finally, Jesus is the fulfillment of that first promise given in the garden, even though it took millennia in order for it to be fulfilled. Those who trusted in this promise were saved, even as there were more promises given by God to his people. Finally, the promise made to Abraham after Isaac was spared, with these words: because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars in the heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the world be blessed. because you have obeyed my voice. This promise was fulfilled in the coming of the one by whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So finally, in the fullness of time, the Savior of the nations has come, even as he was in the beginning with the Father, another of those mysteries. Finally, the sign given by God to King Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This was then reiterated by the angel of the Lord to Matthew in a dream, urging him to take Mary for his wife, even though she was pregnant, because that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit, and his name would be called Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Finally, the word spoken through Isaiah that we heard in the Old Testament reading on Christmas Eve, that we heard in our gradual for today, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, even though the Magi from the east would ultimately look at the king's palace in Jerusalem for a king, the prophecy spoken through the prophet Micah, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days, from everlasting to everlasting. All that would come to pass as Joseph took Mary to be registered in the city of David, because he was of the house and lineage of David, in the house of bread known as Bethlehem. The firstborn son of Mary, our Lord Jesus Christ, came when the fullness of time had come. It's according to God's time. He came as God had promised, according to God's plan and his purpose, all in God's time. Just as we wait for the yearly celebration of this one's birth, and also await that day when he will come again to judge the living and the dead at a day and time we do not know, so too, a righteous and devout man named Simeon was waiting for what St. Luke tells us was the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon represented all of God's people, the children of Israel who had waited for the promised Messiah. So today we hear his words, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So we hear in our gospel account for today about Simeon, whose words we sing in thanksgiving following our reception of Christ's body and blood according to God's promise, where we receive strength for our faith through the forgiveness of our sins. So what was the purpose for all this waiting? Why is this important for you and for me even today? When the fullness of time had come for you and for me and for all, what is our benefit? What is the blessing? Well, the blessing is found in all the promises being fulfilled and what that means for us. We can hear that from Simeon, as well as he prophetically speaks to Mary, saying, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and then in parentheses, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Some will see in the coming of Jesus their source of salvation, while others will not. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom of God. The blessing is that in the fullness of time, this one this Jesus became the fulfillment of all that God had promised, even as he had promised that this one would be stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. This one has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. There's the benefit. There's our blessing. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah, many centuries before, prophesied. And in Christ Jesus, we find fulfillment. God did not wait for mankind to reach a certain cultural level before sending his son, born of a woman, born under the law. On the contrary, he sent his son to break into our history, to set us free from the burden and curse of the law. We therefore celebrate Christmas to recall the measure of God's grace, which was and is manifested in God's gracious act of adopting us as his children, making us heirs of everlasting life. We were hopelessly trapped in the predicament of our fallen estate. In fact, we were up in arms against God for insisting that his revealed law, his will for our lives, be kept in thought, word, and deed. We were rebellious, and sometimes we still are. Yet at a time when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him by actions from his side of the relationship. In the fullness of time, he sent his son to where we were, alienated in revolt against the will of our Creator. In our hopeless condition, God remembered his promises and sent his son, born of a woman, in the little town of Bethlehem, to keep the law for us from beginning to end and to die because of the fact that you and I could not and would not keep the law. This was the purpose of God's promise and its fulfillment in sending forth his son. Through God's one and only son, we have the adoption as sons. God is our heavenly father who reached into our lives in holy baptisms, birthing us from above to be full heirs with Jesus in heaven. He freed us from the slavery of our sin and made us heirs of eternal life. Throughout the world, very rarely will anyone simply enter an orphanage and announce that he wished to adopt a child, after which he immediately receives a new daughter or son. Nearly every country in the world has an official process that a person must go through in order to adopt a child. It's sometimes complicated and drawn out. This official process takes time, requires personal sacrifice of not only time, but also dollars, money, from the person who wishes to adopt. In a similar way, God the Father's official process for adopting you and for adopting me to be his child took time, and it included a sacrifice of his own son. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son that we might receive adoption as sons. Stated another way, finally, God the Father sent us Jesus, his one and only son, whom he sacrificed in order to receive many sons through adoption. In holy baptism, you were made his child, not because of who or what you were, but because of everything he is as your heavenly father, according to his promise. Finally, he did this for you so that every day could be Christmas and Easter as well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise as together we sing the offertory.